Okay, Rabbi Osei, we're learning Yerideya, and we're up to Simon Sadi Aleph Se'if Hey, and we also are going to be paralleling this, or looking very briefly at the Dinim in Simon Kuf Hey, from Se'if Tes, let's say, through Se'if Yud Gimel, and these are the sugyas of Meliach Kiroseach. The sugyas of Meliach Kiroseach basically are interesting sugyas, although quite honestly, if there's one part of Judaism I don't understand, and by the way, there are many more than one part of Judaism I don't understand, but so Meliach Kiroseach is certainly there. Let's just talk about it very briefly. Gemar Kuf Yud Beis, Hahu Bar Gozo de Nafal Akada de Kimka, you have like a certain bird that falls into Kutach. It's like milchik dressing. So Rabchinana Bre de Rava says that it is permitted. So Rava, Amar Rava, man chakim the mishri ki hay gavna ilav Rav Chinana bre de Rava mipashrenya. Right, that no one besides Rav Chinana bre de Rava would be as smart to be matir this. Kosava that when Shmuel said maliach is kireseach, it's only when it is eino necha machmas molchay abahal kutach harinecha machmas molcho. The Gemara says that the din of Meliach Kiroseach, this din, which according to our Gemara and Kuf Yud Beis, is formulated by Rav Chinana Bre de Rava, Tosis on Sadi Vav has a different girsa, that the din is formulated by Rav, Tosis di Bar Maschel, Kole Fad Makom or something, says that it's Rav, but we'll discuss that maybe a little bit later. But the din of Meliach Kiroseach is only when it is eino necho machmas molcho, only when the salt is such that you can't eat the meat. Now, we'll pause over here. Ben's favorite gemara is the next three lines, but we'll just pause over here. So Gemara Kuf Yud Beis says, Meliach Kiroseach is only when it's so salty that you can't eat the meat. What does that mean? So in Tosvis, there are fundamentally two opinions. There's the Baal HaTosfos Reb Yaakov Yisrael. I believe when I learned Cholin with Rabbi Bleich, I believe Rabbi Bleich pointed out that Reb Yaakov Yisrael is the only Baal HaTosfos who had two names. Right? In our world, almost, I think probably all of us, you're Chaim Sadia, I'm Ezra Yair. Right? I think most of us have two names, no? But among the Baal HaTosfos, it's unusual to have two names. Reb Yaakov Yisrael is the only Baal HaTosfos, again, I don't have this Bekiyas, to have two names. Some people have three.
My wife has one.
Some people have one.
I have one, and my father has one.
Well, it's unusual to have more or less than two in our world. But among the Baal HaTosfos, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael had two names, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael and Rashi, the way the Tosfos quotes it, assume that Eino Necho Machmas Molcho means that you put enough salt on it to transport it far away. In other words, you're salting it to the extent that you're preserving the meat. And Tosfos is medame it to the din of Ibud, that the Gemara says in Shabbos, that if I salt meat, it's ki'ilu, I'm tanning leather, it's part of that same malacha. Okay. Now, eino necho machmas molcho, according to that, would mean that you can only eat the meat after you soak it, right, for a decent amount of time to get all the salt off. There's so much salt on the meat that's mamish eino nechal that you have to soak the meat in order to remove the salt. That's shita one. Shita two is the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam says that eino nechal machmas molchai means that you do maliach. Rabbeinu Tam says this, and he blames it on a bahag. He says maliach lekedera is considered eino necho machmas molcho. Maliach lekedera is the equivalent of salting meat to get the blood out of the meat. That's considered eino necho machmas molcho according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Now, what we have over here is like a fundamental machlokes. The machlokes is whether the din of salting meat to remove the dam is the same as the din of Meliach Kiroseach to transmit flavor. No? That's a fairish machlokas. According to Rashi, I need more salt to transmit flavor than I do to get the dam out. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, whenever you get the dam out, that makes it maliach kiroseach. And there are different ways of formulating this machlokes. One way of formulating it is whether basar and dam have the same status of malicha. No? That maliach on liquids and maliach on solids are the same. Right? Alternatively, we could say that according to Rashi, that the dam comes out earlier because liquid is impacted by melach at a different rate than solids are impacted by melach. That's one approach. But there's another approach to say this, and again, it might be related, and that is based on the fundamental chakira as to why removing salt, or how removing dam works. How does it go about that I remove the dam from a piece of meat? We could say that removing dam happens agav the charifus of the melach. Alternatively, we could say that it happens agav the chamimus of the melach. Now, there are two different ways I could say the pu'ula of melicha works. It could work based on charifus, or it could work based on chamimus. Now, Rashi l'cha'ora says that maliach kiroseach, in terms of transferring taste, has to be a different amount of salt than removing dam. That's probably because, according to Rashi, removing dam happens ayde charifus, and transferring taste, like we learned throughout all of our study of Judaism, happens through chamimus, no? However, the Rabbeinu Tam, and by the way, what I'm speaking out is found in our dear beloved friend, the Megillah Sefer, page 29, Vahal'ah. The Megillah Sefer notes that the Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag, right, who the Rabbeinu Tam is based on, they're assuming that the way I remove dam from meat is ayadei the chamimus of the melach. We know that there are other ways to remove dam from meat. Tzli removes dam from meat, you know? When you're in Moresh HaKolel and you shecht animals in the kitchen around midnight during the 9 days, in order, because, like, obviously you can't go, you know, 3 hours without meat if you're a real yeshiva bachar. So you have a guy shechting the animals in the kitchen, and I didn't tell you the story. I don't remember if it was... I think it was Zushmo Techen, was like the head counselor Marasha in those days, and he came in to the kitchen, and he was like very upset with us. Apparently it's against health code to shecht kitchens in the camp... to shecht chickens in the camp kitchen. I mean, we had no idea, like, why the health code is so strict. And so, whatever.
How could it keep you
safe? We mentioned to Rabbi Motechen at that time when he came into the kitchen that, you know what, maybe he was upset with us because we weren't mechabed him with any of the mitzvahs, so we tried to offer him the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, like, as a way of pacifying him. Somehow it didn't work. Like, we had no idea. Like,
who
why
had
was
the Kabbalah in Shechita?
His name was Crazy Joe.
How old was he in the Kabbalah in Shechita?
No, he was in the college kolel already. Oh. I was the counselor of the high school kolel, and he was in college kolel those summers. I just mentioned this to Moshe Strouch. You know him? He's like the guy in the base medrash.
Yeah.
So he remembered this episode with even greater detail than I did, because he, like, remembers everything. So... when you shecht chickens in camp, you don't want to wait the amount of time it takes to salt the meat, because it takes like a couple of hours. Then you need a hadacha rishayna and a malicha and a hadacha shniya, right? It takes like time to do it. So the quicker way of getting the blood out of the meat is you do tzli. Tzli also, you roast the meat and it removes the dam. Now tzli obviously removes the dam ayidei chamimus, no? The machlokas over here is really based on whether I assume that removing dam ayadei tzli is working by the same mechanism as removing dam ayadei malicha. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, it's the same mechanism. They're both a din of chamimus. If they're both a din of chamimus, memela, you'll also transfer the taste, al yidei, the amount of melach that removes the dam. However, Rashi says that no, when I do melach to remove dam, that's a din of charifus, and it's different than removing it al yidei tzli, right? That lachaora is the issue. Now, we can go a step further if we want to be a little creative. And the Gemara on Sadi Vav, which is actually referred to by the Bahag that's quoted in the Taisis here on Kuf Yud Beis, I'm just trying to look at. The Gemara has a lashon that Moliach is Kiroseyach and Kiroseyach Ditzli. Right? The Gemara on Sadi Vav says, what type of Molicha, or what type of Reseyach, what type of Resicha is it? There's Reseyach Kimavushal, which would Aser Bekulai, and there's Reseyach Kitzli, which would not Aser Bekulai. It's unclear from the Gemara how much it would Aser, right, whether it would be a Kedei Kalipa or a Kedei Netila. Aber state in Gemara that Tzli does not aser Bekuloi to the same extent that Resicha de Mavushal would aser. So the Gemara says that Maliach is Kireseach and it's Reseach de Tzli. So Maliach is Kireseach de Tzli. There's a Kaf. Malicha, Kireseach. Does Kaf Hadimyon, when I equate things, Ayidei a Kaf, does that mean that they are mamish the same? Or does Kaf HaDimyon mean that they are somewhat the same, but a little bit different also? No? This is a fundamental machlekes, pashtus between the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, about whether Moliach Kiroseach Ditzli, the Rabbeinu Tam says that Kaf is a Kaf HaDimyon, mamish, to compare them in Gansen, and it works by the same mechanism, right? And the Rashi is going to say, no, it's not working by the same mechanism. Or another way of looking at this, L'cha'ira, would be from the Din in Kufhei, where we discuss that Maliach Kiroseach and Tzli Kimavushal, right, where that comes up in Simon Kufhei, the shaila is how much is Tzli going to be Aser? Does Tzli Aser Bekulai? Does Tzli Aser Kedei Klipa or Kedei Netila? That same question really relates to the Kaf HaDimyon question. If you want like two interesting Mara Makomas on the Kaf HaDimyon question, look in the first Taz in Yeridei Simon Reish Mem Beis. The din is that Yechayev in Kibud Rabo more than Kibud Aviv, no? Because Rabo is Mevi'o L'chaye Olam Haba, and Aviv was Mevi'o L'chaye Olam Hazeh, and Olam Haba is greater than Olam Hazeh, right? That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Tur brings this down, and the Prisha asks, he says, I don't understand. How can you tell me that kavod for your Rebbe is greater than kavod for your father, when the Gemara elsewhere says that kavod for your father is like kavod hamakom? Right? It's like honoring the Rabbonu Shel Olam. That's the Prisha's kasha. So the Prisha answers that the kaf hadimyon doesn't mean it's exactly the same. His lashon is ein hamuka shava legamri al hamakish. Right? That they're not exactly the same. And the Taz jumps up and down, spits water nickels. And the Taz says, no siree, the Kaf HaDimyon is exactly the same. And the Chochma Shlomo, in the first staff of Evan HaEzer, quotes this machlekes between the Taz and the Prisha in the following context. The Gemara says, Ahamagadel yasom besoch beso ki'ilu yilado. If a person raises an orphan, it's as if, right, you bore the child. So what does that mean? You're Mekayim Pru Revu when you adopt a child? Right? That's the question the Chochma Shlomo asks. Sometimes you get people, just last night I had a couple who came to me. to discuss. They have very serious fertility issues, whatever it is. And, like, we were discussing possibilities of surrogacy and possibilities of adoption. Like, Mamish had this. Like, I'm still enough of a pulpit rabbi. They have these questions sometimes. And, you know, are you Mekayim Perivu if you adopt a child? Now, one could argue that that question is, like, much too personal, like, to look at, like, just from a purely halachic perspective. You know, the natural urge to raise children isn't halachic. Now, women feel more of an urge often than men to raise children, even though, as a matter of technical halacha, men have a mitzvah perivu, women don't. Right? The urge to have children isn't about the kiyam hamitzvah. Most of us are not such briskers that, like, if there's a kiyam hamitzvah, then we have an urge. No, our emotions are governed by our emotions, not by our brains. That's most of us. So, the Chachma Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Kluger, in the first half of Evan HaEzer, questions, am I mekayim the mitzvah pru'uravu when I raise a yasom? And he's medame it to the same sugya of the Kaf HaDimyon. Right? That same machlokes in the Prish and the Taz at the beginning of the Freshman Beis of Yerideya. And what we're noting is that machlokes is probably also the machlokes in the Balei HaTaisis as to whether Maliach is usher only if it is kidei, if Maliach Kitzli, right, does it also operate Ayadei Chamimus, or are we saying that it operates differently Ayadei Harifus, etc. That's a machlokus between Rashi and the Rabbi Nutam, and maybe that's a machlokus in Kufay about the extent that it's going to be usher as well, Ad Kan, Nachdikot Torah. Now, there is another discussion in the Rishonim about how long does the salt have to remain. How much salt you need is a machlokes, Rashi and the Rabbi Nutam. How long does the salt have to remain on the meat is also a machlokes. The Mechaber over here says that it's only a problem if it's Meliach Shemochen l'kedero, that's like the Rabbeinu Tam, the amount of salt to remove the blood, and if it's shaha kedei melicha l'kedera, and if the amount of time is also that amount of time. Meaning, if I put the salt on and I remove the salt briefly after, then I don't apply the din of Maliach Kereseach according to the Mechaber. The Ramah adds a Nakuda over here, and the Ramah says, well, it's only going to be usher, basically, until that time. After the salt was there for that amount of time, so the salt is not going to be able to usher it anymore. No? Now, that would be a very funny type of machlokes. L'cha'ora, if I just read it kipshuto, the mechaber is assuming that salt, let's say it takes 18 minutes. For the first 18 minutes, according to the mechaber, it doesn't do anything. After 18 minutes, it does everything. For the Ramah, right? If the Ramah agrees with the Mechaber, so until 18 minutes, it does nothing. After 18 minutes, it also does nothing. It only does something at that punct moment of 18 minutes. Right? That would be highly unusual. The Pashtus is, therefore, that the Ramah is assuming that it would aser even before 18 minutes, and after 18 minutes, it no longer asers, right? Which would mean that the Ramah is going min akotza el akotza against the Mechaber, and the Ramah says you can rely on this, b'makayim hefsin meruba, and the su'udas mitzvah, that's what he quotes from the Terumas Hadeshin, that's what he quotes over here. Now, the Shach has the following idea. The Shach writes in Sifkatin Vesich Nish, Sifkatin Yud Aleph, the Shach is marich to say that the only time salt loses its potency is when that salt is also expunging the dam from the meat. When the salt is just very salty meat, then we are not going to say it loses its potency after time. Right? The Shach basically completely disagrees. The Pashtus in the Rambam is that the Rambam is equating the din of salting stamazoi on meat. When they have salting to be maflet to the tam of the meat, the Rambam is equating that to the salting of removing the dam. No? And by the removing of dam, according to many Rishonim, once the salt has been there for a while, it loses its potency. And the Rambam says the same thing when I salt it in terms of being maflet the tam of the meat. The Shach says no siri. Right? The Shach says the only time salt loses its potency was when the salt is acting on the meat to get the tam out of the meat. No? Now, that machlokas, to get the dam out of the meat, right? That machlokas, l'cha'ira b'gadol, is also tolay in our question as to whether melicha's effect on the basar is the same as melicha's effect on the dam, right? Which is a machlokas, as we noted, between the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Again, we're kind of painting this in very broad strokes rather than getting into the Amkus HaDavar. Another issue that might be totally in our analysis is whether we apply the principle of Tata'a Gevar to the din of Maliach Kiraiseach, no? This question, which we touched on the last time we learned a bit, but not necessarily in a compelling sort of way. I think I pointed out at the beginning of the year that my job over here is not to say stuff that's mukhrach, but to say stuff that's interesting. No? If you go, like the Kutzker said, that MS, right, is very far from Yafa. No? You have all the way in between the Yatzev and Nochem, the Kayam, the Yod, the Yafa. No? So I'm more inclined to, at least in these Shi'urim, move towards Yafa, which is often far from MS, but it doesn't mean that there's no value in Yafa, right?
It's good that you're
going to pass any shaylas. So I am not passing any shaylas about Malicha. Zero. I'm giving you a way of thinking about the sugya, right? Which is basically two hakiras that are interrelated. The effect of the melach on the basar for blia, plita, and the effect of the melach on the dam. Right, those are two interrelated sugyas. By the way, if you want to see nuschaos in poskim where they use these terms, so I could find you nuschaos in the poskim in here in the Bir Hagra. I'll find you some Bir Hagra nuschaos. Okay, in the Gra in Simin. Kufhei, Os Ayin Daled, and Ayin Vav. The Gon is using the same terminology that we are using in analyzing the Sugya. So now, do I say Tata'a Gvar by Meliach? That's a machlokis in Kufhei Se'if Yuralaf, a machlokis in the Mechaber and the Ramah, no? The Mechaber writes that this din of the Isser is Meliach and the Heter is Tafel, that it will aser until Shishim if it's fat meat, and if it's lean meat, it won't. That's only true when the Isser Maliach is Lamata, and the Heter Tafel is Lamala, alt to Ta'agvar. The Ramah disagrees, the Ramah says, Yesh Chokin. The Omrim, Dibi Malicha, Ein Chiluk Imhu Lamaila or Lamata. That Machlokas Lacha'ira, right? Again, Bigadol, that Machlokas is the same thing. If you hold that Malicha is Machmas Chamimas B'Pashtus, there should be a distinction between Ila'a and Tita'a. However, if you hold that Malicha is Alt Charifas, so B'Pashtus, there is no room for that distinction. Again, we're talking in very broad strokes. If I go back to Simin Sadi Aleph, by the way, and the nusach of whether the melach impacts on the basar or on the dam is found in the Goyin Simin Sadi Aleph Osvav. That's where he speaks in those terms, and Kefimash and his Baranu, those two terms are somewhat connected. Now, there is a bit of a discussion over here as follows. When meat falls into a liquid, so we have the Gemara also on Kuf Yud Beis Omid Aleph. The Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis Omid Aleph, same sugya writes, remember that the bar goes, that falls into the kada dekimka. So the Gemara says, Hani milichai. This is only true with raw meat. Avotzli always requires klipa. And if there are pili, if there are like cracks in the meat, then it's usser bekulo. And if it's metabel betavlin, then it's usser bekulo. Right? That's what the Gemara says on Kuf Yud Beis Omid Aleph. Now, it's unclear from the Gemara if I'm talking about a combination of the factors. I'm saying tzli and metubel betavlin, and maybe it's unclear if I'm talking about tzli that is hot tzli or cold tzli. Right? All these points are somewhat unclear in the Gemara. Taisus on Sadi Vav Amid Beis. Taisus comments, Diba Masra Adshim Agia Legid. Tosfos says that we never see that tzli is usher kedei klipa. The only time you have the sugya of kedei klipa in Shas is in the sugya of we pass into ta'agvar in a situation where the top one is cham and the bottom one is cold. That's the only time you have kedei klipa. And therefore tzli, according to Taisa, should aser kedei netila. Now, the Gemara in Kol HaBasar says that you only require klipa, right? When the bar goyis falls into the kada de kimko, all you require is klipa. Why is it that you require klipa over there? Shouldn't we say that b'tzli you require kedei netila? So Taisus answers that we're talking about tzli tzonein. And therefore the lumdus of tzli is not that it's hot, but the lumdus is that when you roast a piece of meat, it softens and it absorbs more. Now, the Balei HaTosfos are basically dancing around the following question. There are two ways of learning the sugya. You can learn that the sugya is talking about tzli roseach, or the sugya is talking about tzli tzonein. The Balei HaTosfos are inclined that's talking about tzli tzonein, and lahalocha, this is a machlokas mechaber amah inside the Aleph Se'if Zayin. No, the Mechaber says we're talking about Tzli Roseach. The Rama writes, Hu Hadin, if it is even Tzonein. Right? That's what the Rama says. That's the Machlokes HaRishonim. Now, the Shach notes, why is it that you require Klipa, according to the Mechaber, if it is Roseach? So the Shach says, because when the piece of meat falls into the kada de kimka, it's the regular din, the general halacha that we know already of tita'a gevar, but when the elyon is cham, so then it goes kedei klipa. Right? In other words, the shach in Oschof Gimel says that the din, according to the mechaber, that tzli, then it falls in, is going to aser kedei klipa, unless there are beka'im or metubal batavlin. That is a regular case of hot top, cold bottom, that you require klipa. Sprek the shach, why is it hot top, cold bottom? When meat falls into a liquid, the meat sinks to the bottom, no? That's what happens all the time. Right? Meat doesn't float. So
that's a Tata Gavra question. Yeah.
So the shach answers that we don't say Tata Gevar based on what ends up at the end. We say Tata Gevar based on the item which has been Mekomai as opposed to the item in transit. Right? The liquid is Bimkoma, so the liquid is considered Tata. The item in transit is called Ila'a, even though that piece of meat lands at the bottom. That's what the Shach is quoting from the Mechaber. Now the Ramah says, even if they are tsoinonim, it assers kidei klipa, unless it is, even if it's tzlitzonin, it assers kidei klipa, unless it's bekaim or metuba betavlin. The pashtus in the Ramah is that the Ramah would also agree that if it is cham, it also would aser only kidei klipa. Right, the nusach of the Ramah seems to be that even if it's tzonin, it asers kidei klipa. Right, even would mean cham and tzonin asers kidei klipa, and that would mean that the mechaber and the Ramah both agree that the item in transit is considered the ilah, and the item that was present beforehand is called the tata'a. However, the Shach notes that the Hagos Maimoni and the Isser Beheter hold that if it's tzli reiseyach, lo sagi beklipa. Right? That's the nusach of the Isser Beheter and the Hagos Maimoni. Now, it's not clear what lo sagi beklipa means. Reb Kiva Eger, commenting on the Shach, assumes that lo sagi beklipa would mean that they hold that you need netilah. However, the Chavis Das argues in Os Yud Gimel in Sadi Aleph. The Chavis Das argues that if you read the Isser Beheter and the Hagos Maimoni, they're saying something very different. They're saying that's going to aser bekulo, because they assume that if I have tzli reiseyach that falls into cholov, so they would assume that the tzli reiseyach is considered the tata'a. Remember, the Shach quotes, according to the Hagos Maimoni in the Isser Beheter, lo sagi beklipa. But what does lo sagi beklipa mean? It could mean that because it's hot, you need a little bit more, right, for the Ramah. And that would be like a very unusual type of dimyon. But the Ramah says, v'chein, in the sense of, yeah, even if it's tzlitzonein, you require kedei, even if it's tzlitzonein, you require kedei, kedei klipa, but tzli roseach also requires kedei klipa, but the Isser Beheter says, no, it requires a little bit more. However, according to the Chavis Das's beer in the Isser Beheter and the Hagos Maimoni, the Isser Beheter and the Hagos Maimoni are disagreeing fundamentally. And the Isser Beheter and the Hagos Maimoni are saying that no siri. They're saying that if I have tzli roseach, I have a hot piece of tzli, so it would aser bekulay. Why? Because the tata'a is the hot piece of tzli. And that aser is all the milk on top of it. Meaning that we don't define ila'a and tata'a as being item in motion versus item that's stationary. I define ila'a and tata'a as based on what's on top, what's on bottom. Right? That's what the Chavis Das writes in Sifkotin Yud Gimel. And the Chavis Das, let me just finish two nekudos. The Chavis Das says, and that's the pshat in Taisus. Because Taisus is bothered on Sadi Vav, that what's the pshat in the Gemara in Kuf Yud Beis? The Gemara in Kuf Yud Beis says that if I have a piece of tzli, right, it's going to aser kedei klipa. For Taisus, why does it aser kedei klipa? Right? That's Taisus's kasha. So Taisus answers, oh, it's tzonin, right? And that's why it asers kedei klipa. What was Taisus bothered by? So it says the Chavis Das, what Taisus is bothered by is exactly this nekuda. Taisus assumes that we should say that a piece of tzli is considered the tata'a and it should answer everything. It should answer the kulay. That is the way the Chavis Das wants to explain the Taisus. Good? However, the diuk that we made at the beginning of the shir from Taisus is the way out of the Chavis Das. At the beginning of the year, we pointed out that the Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis, where we have the Girsa, is Rav Chinina Brei de Rava. But the way Tosis on Kuf Yud Beis has the Girsa is Rav says that it asers Kedei Klipa. We know that Rav holds in Pesachim Ayin Vav that Ila'a Gevar. No? So that's the Pshat. Right? That's the pshat. Okay, so again, this is all found in the Megillah Sefer, page 34. Basically, everything we said today is based on the Megillah Sefer. Basically, I'm not talking halacha l'maisa at all. We're talking about two separate inyanim of chakira. What's the lumdus of melicha? Right? Is it charif or chamimah's impact on basar versus impact on dam? Are they the same din or different dinim? That's one mahalach. The other thing that we discuss is simply what's considered ila'ah, what's considered tita'ah. Let me just mention one more point, because Ben Keen is bothered by the kasha. Does, if I salt my chicken cutlet, so if I spice my chicken cutlet, it's metuba batavlin, so does that mean it's going to be aser bekulay even when it's cold? Right, so let's say there's a tshuva in Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi Siman Pei Hei. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva that once upon a time some milk spilled on spicy chicken cutlets. So that's an aser bekulay. Right, not such an uncommon case. So pashtus is it should be aser bekulay. However, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says maybe you could say that since there are rishonim who assume that tzvi is only a problem for seyach and since we're talking about a suffix on the level of Durabonon in this halacha, because we're talking about Basar Eif B'cholav, therefore you could be Megal. It seems to me I don't understand this tshuva at all, because if we're Ashkenazim, we should have to hold like the Ramah, not like the Mechaber. You can't be Mitzarefet as a suffix. Rav Pesach Frank apparently does not say that. We spoke about the Shaila when we had the question of the Ner Chanukah, no? Right, we spoke about that in the Prima Gun. To what extent can you be mitzarev deos of mechaber into a suffix according to Ashkenazim, according to the Ramah? Ad kan divoreinu? Question?
Yeah, I'll have to think about it for a minute more. Really
okay.
The Chafa Dimyon, is that like a machlokas? People are like, l'shitasam, or is that everyone holds both? And it depends on which one works for the shita.
So again, I think the Chachma Shlomo is assuming that, like, there's a general shas. I remember years ago when I was a kid, a friend Kreisworth from Belgium came to Lawrence for Shabbos, and he, like, said, he spoke about how he had a conversation with Chazanish about this Kaf HaDimyon thing, and he was trying to bring him many different rayas from Gemaras, and the Chazanish was refuting his rayas. I think I wrote it down after Shabbos at that time, but I don't remember. I have to find my notes. I'm like, I didn't write it down on Shabbos, but I think I wrote it down after Shabbos. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, so, well, I've answered the Chazanish side, so this might just not whatever be the question, but in terms of first of all, did the Chavos Das himself say, like, the whole issue was, like, how we define what is Ilah Agbar?
Yes.
Okay. So in terms of that, like, assuming the Din of Tzli as a special type of Roteach versus, like, other things, or versus, like, Maliach or whatever, if we assume that it has some, like, Chumros, like we saw that some people say it's Kedei Kulo, even in a situation where something else wouldn't be Kedei Kulo, presumably that would be a separate issue than, like, how we define Ilah and Tita Agbar. Meaning, if you're saying just the issue is how we define it, then I'd, like, Lav Dafka, like Tzeli, that's totally incidental. And it seemed like Tzeli was the thing that people were focusing on in terms
of... So again, I think that's a way... I think that's a fair thing to say.
Okay.
I didn't spend as much time as I should thinking through the pratim of this sugya.
Yeah.
I find this sugya a difficult, be not so relevant halacha.
You mean it's the most relevant sugya in all of Torah?
Maybe. That's one way of saying it.
Unless you want to throw away your spice cabinet.
Another way of saying it. Again, look at that cube in the Har Tzvi Siman Pei Hei.
Yeah.
And tell me what you think about it after. Okay, Chavar, I just have to run.
Okay.
Can I ask someone to just bring my phone to the basement?